You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
I have friends. I definitely have friends.
Oh, yeah. I have friends. I definitely have friends. Objectively, I can say that I have all the friends.
I have friends. I definitely have friends. Friends, friends, friendly friends. Time to meet my friends.
Angela.
Shannon.
Jim.
Moosh.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. No one can say that we do not have friends.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. Friends, friends, friendly friends. We have all the friends.
Cool. Welcome back to Crazy Ex-Girlfriends, our Crazy Ex-Girlfriend podcast.
Angela and Jim brought us donuts!
We have donuts. We're sponsored by donuts today.
Yes! I was all like, I came to podcast and I was like, I don't want to have to worry about dinner. So I ate like two bags of chips and three shots of vodka, and now donuts!
We brought dinner!
There's donuts and alcohol, and it's so exciting.
This is a dream. This is a dream come true.
Oh, God. Especially like after that dark episode we have to talk about.
What was that about an episode?
Oh, yeah. There's an episode we watched. We have to talk about it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
This is the emotional eating and drinking
podcast
episode.
That episode needs it. Like, there's a lot of good stuff in the episode. I'm glad we're going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were talking a lot on Facebook before, and we were, you know, like having different opinions on stuff. And, you know, I couldn't wait. I'm like, have to stop the conversation. Don't answer
it. I know. I was looking at it the whole time, too. Like, Moosh is going, save it for the podcast.
Or even, I was like excited because I'm like, these are good notes. We can just like bring up the trigger issues for people.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
The first time that I watched it through, it left a really bad feeling with me, which I think it should, But the second time, I actually liked it a lot more.
Yeah. So which was like about an hour ago.
Nice.
Before I even watched it, like I went to bed and I woke up and there was a stream of Facebook like messenger profiles posts from everybody. I'm like, oh my God, what just happened? Don't look
at them.
It was too late though. Like, I already learned about what was happening. I'm like, oh. It's okay. Just watch the episode. You have to watch the episode now.
Yeah, I tried to watch it at work, and then two commercial breaks in, it's like you can tell Rebecca's being drugged by her mother.
Oh, yeah.
At least I mean, I think any reasonable person would. It.
She would never give her strawberry milkshake.
Oh, my God, no.
Come on.
No, it's just like, oh, God, she's being drugged.
She'll, like, give her a bowl of kale.
It was
basically.
It was kind of so obvious I dismissed it because it's kind of a cliche to drug, like,
your
food or something. Yeah. And I was like, no, but
yeah.
They typically lead you down a certain path and then they go somewhere else, you know, rather than doing the obvious thing, I guess, or I don't know. The show is known for taking you toward something that feels obvious and then choosing to go a different way. So,
or if the obvious thing is what would happen in real life, which I think that would happen in real life, exploring it in like nuanced detail, which is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a very good job with it.
So I'm going to do a really, really quick recap of what happened.
Deep breath.
Like even quicker than before.
Yeah.
It's basically Rebecca goes to Scarlet. Rebecca, who's our main character, so everyone's on the same page. She's gone through a lot of grand gestures for love. She stalked a guy. She was going to marry a guy. He left her at the altar. She's had a mental breakdown a couple times since then. Tried to alienate all her friends. Ran away from an intervention. And then ended up in Scarsdale, New York with her mother to either fight her demons or more realistically hide from them. She is crazy depressed and suicidal. Her mom figures it out. Drugs her instead of talking with her.
Oh, but she was going to drug her to talk to her.
Yeah. I don't know. She's drugging her to make her happy so she can get a job in New York and move home and be happily ever after. Meanwhile, the entire office and friends, because Rebecca's friends with all her coworkers, they're all having trouble dealing with life without her in their own ways. They all miss her very much, but they're letting her do her own thing and, you know, come to terms with whatever she's going through. They don't realize how serious it is. Even Rebecca doesn't, because she leaves her mother's house mid-flight back towards LA, has a panic attack, and attempts suicide with some stolen anxiety pills and a glass of Merlot. So that is basically the episode in short, and there's so many good details to it. So we can talk about.
Oh, yeah.
That was a nice, tidy nutshell.
Yeah.
I like how they started the episode with, like, her replaying the conversations in her head, because yeah. that's what we mm-hmm. all do, oh, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. you have one of those horrible nights, and the first thing you do is you think about it all yeah, again. Mm-hmm. You just, like, play on the constant repeat until you drive yourself crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, if... The episode where she's got little Rebecca, if that's like a personification of anxiety to make an audience feel anxiety, that's mm-hmm. perfect. But like a real anxiety attack, you're just thinking about all the terrible things you hate about yourself.
Again and again. That's so. Well, maybe you think about like that's what depression is. Like anxiety yeah. is the child self like getting all freaked out. Depression is I'm going to beat myself down mm-hmm. right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate myself and there's no way out.
Exactly. And let me remind myself of all the reasons I hate mm-hmm. myself. Yeah. Shall I?
And let me tell myself that everybody else hates me too and that I'm yeah. you know, terrible and nobody likes me and yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you could see just how beat down Rebecca is because early in the episode, her mom's like, I need to run your life. And she's like, okay.
She just gives up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know that never happens. And her mom should have saw that as a cry for help. But instead she's yeah. like, oh. Yes, thank me. Yeah. Yes, thank mm-hmm. me.
I think well, she sees it the second time around when she yeah. seems like be trying to kind of get mm-hmm. her angry
yes!
to like get her off the couch and like mm-hmm. she doesn't react to that.
Yeah.
And she seems concerned.
It's kind of like her way of like showing love.
Like that. Like yeah. When you have an old dog or something, you're trying to come on, let's go do something. Yeah. The dog's just kind of like laying there and you're like, uh oh, this is not.
Yeah. That's actually the perfect. Yeah. I was going to bring it up later, but why not now? when my friend Brad was talking about it, he basically said, like, anytime there's like a suicide attempt where you take all the pills, it's super dramatic and. You know, almost like it's TV drama, yeah. but where she's taking like one pill each at one at a time, and like she's yeah. doing it without, or she's like dry throating it too and stuff,
and she's hiding it.
She's
from
hiding
every,
it. From
yeah,
everyone.
She does it completely on her own,
yeah,
isolated from everyone. Though.
It's like watching a pet go behind the TV to die. Like it yeah. is yeah. that sad. And he said that, and it made me really sad.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's that the whole thing is just like she's a sick pet and. Her mom can't fucking see it because
yeah. yeah, or she does see it, and her way of showing that she cares is like, I'm gonna make you fight me back.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I'm gonna push you until mm-hmm. you fight.
And yeah. that was yeah, the sad thing I guess of the whole episode is that her mom didn't know the best way to deal with it. She's you know, trying to be helpful and has no idea how to go about it in a way
mm-hmm. yeah.
that is actually going to be helpful.
She's using the method she's always used before.
Yeah.
And it seems to have worked before for her. She's like, I have a daughter who went to Harvard yeah. and went to Yale
who's
and is a successful
alive.
Lawyer
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
who's still alive. I did this right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the part that like killed me is like first few minutes or whatever. She's like, what am I telling my friends and like what are you doing here? What's the
tell
narrative?
Them whatever you want.
And yeah, she's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the mom needing that narrative to like tell about her daughter, and both of them don't have it, and just their ways of reacting to it is so sad.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, my initial reaction of hate, like I hated watching it the first time through. Because it was too real.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, oh, man. Like I know that I've done this stuff short of attempting suicide.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Who
Everything
in this
else...
room has not suffered from depression?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, like, come on.
Yeah.
Last week, I wanted to play Never Have I Ever as a drinking game
yeah.
for the show.
We forgot.
To get us, which, like, I wanted to do it last week, or I wanted to do it mm-hmm. to, like, prep for this week. And it's obviously not a good It's either a really good episode or a really bad episode for it. But
yeah.
I'm, like, driving over. I'm like, I really can't play it because, like, all the fun stuff is gone. Like, Never Have I Ever slept with my ex-boyfriend's dad. No one has done that. No one's going to drink on that. But, yeah, like, never have I ever been, so depressed it was a problem.
Never also, have I ever peed while drinking at a swim-up bar.
Who peed in the pool? who on the show peed?
Oh, they were talking about how Tommy likes to pee at a swim-up bar.
He likes to pee and drink at the same time.
In and out.
That's actually really perfect.
100% snail eating his tail. Or snake eating his tail.
Palindrome.
That's right. Who's the doctor now? Bam. That's the doctor thing.
Yeah, to stop watching it at work because I was like, this is getting too real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I watched the next morning before work. And
oh,
like,
that's good.
I was like, oh, I'm having a breakdown now. I'm going to go cry in the shower.
Let's have a heartwarming moment.
Okay. And then I couldn't, like, I actually tried to rewatch it later that weekend. after we had talked about it on like Messenger a lot. I was like, okay, I'm ready. And then just got to the mom stuff. I was like, nope, too real, too real.
Yeah. See, for me, like I got to I watched the episode a bunch, but I couldn't take notes on it. Like normally I can like stop and pause and I'll take my notes and I'll like make it all what it should be. And this time I'm like, okay, I'll watch it. Yeah. Like I'll watch it this time. And this time I'll take notes. I'm like, I can't.
Like, yeah. It was too hard to sit there and think about that much.
Well, like, yeah, I mean it's very real.
Yeah, I had that problem too. Like there were various points. The first time through, we just watched and I hated it. And then the second time through, I had a couple points where I was taking notes and I was like, I want this to end now. I'm done. Like
exactly.
I'm done watching.
We usually rewatch probably at least three times. We watched it this time. Like sometime on Saturday, and then we didn't watch it again until like a couple hours ago. Because we're putting it off.
Yeah. And I think that's what it was. When I watched the episodes, I wanted to get through it as quickly as possible. Like normally I'll pause it. I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. And this time I'm like, I can't. I just have to get through it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I hope I just suck it in and remember it because I can't.
Yeah.
But I did watch it like 4.5 times. So
that's really good.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm really impressed.
Thank you. So hopefully I have the memory of an smart animal.
And there was
They poop?
Because
everybody poops.
I know. Well, everyone does poop. There's a great book about that for children.
I'm aware of it.
But no, there was the thing where Naomi was like, "Who the elephant's pooping? Who's pooping? Yeah.
You're the one pooping,
You're
Rebecca.
The pooping.
You're pooping. Poop again.
That was mean. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty harsh. Oh, and then we go and Nathaniel is still cuddling the alligator in Rebecca's apartment.
Yeah, okay, so then, yeah. So that's our next like scene from the beginning, right?
Scene. Yeah. And he's like, no, she's going to want this. Like, you can't take this stuff while the rest of the stuff's going.
And I don't know if anybody noticed, the mover speaks English now.
It's the same mover that we've seen in two previous episodes.
Man.
He's only spoken Spanish in those episodes because Rebecca was oversharing with him and Paula was oversharing
Angela
with him.
Theories,
it's a coping mechanism.
Yeah, he wisely didn't want to talk to any of those people.
Yeah, like,
it's what you do.
Yep. If you're bilingual and
I fake Spanish just to try to get out of it.
Well, like, he's bilingual. It was real Spanish.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. But I'm saying, I'll just make up a language if I have to just to try to get people to leave me
alone.
And
hope they don't really know it.
Although, usually, if I'm speaking English, people want to leave me alone anyways.
Oh, and then we go to the office and Maya, we find out Maya's obsessed with Daryl and Y Joe, but who is not? Like, that couple is adorable.
Well, that's my Instagram again. Hashtag goals. So
it's my hashtag goals. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. I like that Maya's like the over exaggerated kind of millennial, like hyperbolic with her emotions and how like,
I literally cannot with you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we've got Mrs. Hernandez who comes out as like her stark opposite.
I love that.
Who's
woman.
Just like the harsh, like hardened, like, I've been through more shit than you can imagine, you little like pampered brat.
Get LASIK, you geek.
Yeah. Never open your mouth again. Get LASIK.
We get Mrs. Hernandez for the first time without Rebecca's filter, which is silencing and friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, and then we have, so Maya doesn't know what the sound is, and it's a fax machine.
Oh, yeah. One of the computers sounds like it's in pain.
It's so hot.
Yeah. I like that hypersensitivity that they show in her. That.
And then I thought it was interesting that Nathaniel's dad, the only time he said he loved anything was from a fax. Like, he loves faxing.
The only time he used the word love.
It's so nice how they took... Like, in case you don't know these characters well enough, they, like, threw little details all in this scene and, like, all in these, like, office scenes to, like, reinforce who they are. Like,
yeah.
You didn't know Nathaniel had daddy issues? Let's pepper it in a little bit.
You know Maya's a little quirky? Let's really throw on the millennial. But, yeah.
Daryl, the over-emotional, over-sharer, kind of like. And then Jim, just office creep.
I really like that we didn't hear about Jim for like many episodes. Yeah. And so the best way to handle that, like bringing Jim back after not seeing him a bunch, is of course he thinks that there's some romance going on between him and Rebecca, like some unspoken thing. Like that just makes so much sense.
Because
the guy you don't notice is of course the one that's like, yeah, you know what's going on with
creating all kinds of situations in his head.
Yeah, I don't.
It's like,
it's nothing. Thanks for playing.
I like how they rotate out the male characters in The Office. Yeah! So like we never get too much of any of them. It's just like, oh, we haven't heard from Tim in a while. We haven't heard from Jim in a while.
I like that they make their names rhyme too. You know, like they do, like they used to do with like the bubblegum blondes. You know, like we have Kimmy and Tammy and Pammy. And so instead here we have Tim and Jim. And so I just like the role reversal of that.
It is really cute.
Oh, and Rebecca resigned. Well, Mom resigned. For
That's the facts is resignation by fax.
Did anybody, could you tell by the tense silence that that's what that said? Because as soon as it came through, I was like, oh, she resigned.
Well, we know that because her mom already said, too. Like, her mom was
I'm going to do that,
Yeah, and Nathaniel in that scene, he orders everybody not to think about her.
Yeah, which is crazy. But OMG, guys, she's supposed to be my girl boss power force mentor.
Yeah.
I love, okay, so that mentorship has that crazy name.
Shut up.
Has a crazy name. But then,
shut your stupid face.
To jump ahead to our new lawyer, she's like, yeah, I did that one.
I know. I was like, what do you mean this is legit? No, this is.
Yeah, the new lawyer, Cornelia.
This is something someone made up a Google site for and was like, this is a business now.
Did you expect a side plot about a fake conference?
Oh, yes.
Maya's getting ripped off. We have to help her, guys.
Or I could see it as one of those things like, you guys, we just Skype in. We're just all going to Skype in. Make sure you have a nice backdrop.
Well, she talked about her crazy crystal retreat, too.
I wrote the name down. Should I say it now?
Say it now. Yes.
Vagina Refresh Seminar.
Oh, my goodness. What is it?
Sun her, steam her, and put diamonds in her or something like that.
Yes, crystals.
Crystals.
To rejuvenate her.
That's right. That's right. Crystals have been used for centuries, people. Might as well put them up your vagina.
And invite new coworkers to join in.
Well, how else are you going to bond? They don't have those trust falls anymore. What are you supposed to do? You can't play light as a feather, stiff as a board, so instead just stick some stuff up you.
That's how you become a better girl boss.
That's right. That's how you bond. And I also love that Maya must have waited till the last minute because, like, Rebecca's out, Paul is sick, Karen's a hand foot model, Mrs. Hernandez is a bitch. But it's like, Paul is out sick. Like, you can't wait another day or two. Like, she doesn't, have the bubonic plague. She doesn't, mice.
She needs that, immediate attention. Need it right now. Mm-hmm. I need it right now. It's got to happen right now. Everything happens right now.
See, that's a millennial thing. Yeah. That's what I like. That's either that or she procrastinated to the very last moment.
Or that.
Yeah. And she's like, Rebecca, I'm going to have you sign this thing, but I can't print it off because, OMG, it takes so much effort. It takes, my data, and I don't have any data left because I used it all to, scan pictures of Justin Bieber and put my face on it. And then I put it on Reddit.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
With a hashtag about why Joe and, Daryl. I can't even.
Dare Joe.
And then I made it shut the front door.
You're the best millennial in this room.
I learned everything I know from Maya.
That was quick.
We have the same glasses.
Nice.
I call them my Jessica Day glasses.
Girl.
Yeah.
I love her.
I love her too.
I just love Zoe Deschanel in general.
Yes. Ah, from so great.
I don't know, everything she's ever been in.
Everything she's ever been in. I love the movie that she was in with Sarah Jessica Parker. What was it, Fool's Gold or something like that? Or
I actually don't think I saw that one. So yeah, I guess watch that movie now.
Oh yeah, and it's so funny because she's a little bit more surly in it, and there's this bird that she wants to kill, but it's a mockingbird, so she can't kill it. She's like, that damn bird. It's so great. I will find the title and I will let you know.
Yeah, something about Girl Next Door just kind of fell off for me the second time around. I watched the first few seasons, and then a couple of years went by and I tried to go back to it, and I couldn't get into it like I did the first time through.
I feel like I stopped watching when Nick and Zoe, what's her name? Jess. When Nick and Jess broke up and we're still going to live together and then share a room or something. And I was like,
it's a thing. I'll come back. My current situation, it's way more awkward than actually it's on that show, okay?
And you're like, empathy. Yeah, you guys, you know, I stopped watching Never because I love that show.
It's so good. I believe you. There's just so many things to watch.
That is true.
To be that person.
You got to prioritize after a while. Jess, I'm so fascinated by you now.
She's dark Jess.
I am.
She's the dark version of New Girl.
I am. Right. She's all happy and sweet. And I'm like, I'll cut you.
Yes. Who's that girl? Who's that girl?
I'll cut you. I like that.
I would watch that.
That's You're like, it seems murdery. That sounds fun.
Reminds me of my cat.
You just say it in the innocent voice. You're fine.
Right. As long as you don't say it seriously. Like, people don't actually think you're going to cut them.
Exactly.
It comes across wrong on Facebook, though.
Anything in writing, yeah.
And you'd Facebook live it, but you don't want to be one of those people.
You got to put it in, like, one of those, like a poofy cloud background or something, or the hearts or something. Just to lighten
like a happy background, just let you know, like, I'm not seriously going to murder you.
Or if I do cut you, it's because it's out of love.
Maybe you need, like, a mixture of emojis.
You write a smiley face after it?
That's what I was thinking. Like,
oh, there you go.
Yeah. Or heart knife, heart knife.
I should start doing that.
Yeah.
It seems less stabby. Thank you. I learned a lot today.
Who's that girl?
Sorry. I was going to do the normal awning.
No, that was good. You did the normal. I did the backdrop. It was great.
So then we check in with Paula, right?
Yes.
Well, sorry.
Briefly, we see Rebecca depressed again.
Oh.
Are you looking at porn?
Yeah, yes. I think that's...
Oh, that wasn't a question for me. Sorry. Let me put away my...
All the slapping.
Yeah, she asked the porn question. She's trying to get her riled up.
Yeah.
It's not working, and I think that's when it kind of
starts
She's
just trying to get some insight into what the hell's going on. Like, speak to me. Let me know what the hell...
And it's her way of saying I love you. Like, the more bitchy I am to you, the more I'm saying I love you.
Yeah, that's the thing that hit me, like, throughout the episode. Is as much as she is reaching out in her own way to try to, like, connect with her daughter and figure out, like, she doesn't know how to love her in the right way. She doesn't know how to love her how she knows how.
Well, this
and
is
it's
a learned
not
behavior.
Working at all.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, it's a learned behavior. You know, like, this has been going on for generations, and that's a thing too.
Yeah,
like, it never works. But
she had harsh parents who had harsh parents who had harsh parents, and
well, the words from Rachel Bloom, remembering which RB it is, Rachel Bloom. The words from her about that is like, Naomi is a survivor, and her whole mentality is like, you must survive this.
So, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
It's like,
and
just
how do you
telling
make a person
somebody,
survive?
Get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, and it's maybe not even just telling them get over it. It's just telling them, like, you need to live no matter what.
Yes.
So this is a logical way to.
Well, it's like one of those things. How do you make a person survive? You make them stronger. How do you make them stronger? By beating them down until they push their way back up. Like, it's, I know, it makes no sense, but that's the survivor mentality, at least in my opinion. Like,
that's
how,
like,
it goes.
The outdated, uneducated kind of mentality, too. Like, the psychologically unaware, you know.
How many people have a person in their life with the survivor mentality who has bestowed it upon them?
Probably more so my mom than
or
my
who
dad,
hasn't let's maybe who hasn't like it's another thing, like it's of the generation. It's what people did.
Well, and if they admit that it doesn't work or that it's wrong, then they have to look at their parents and their history, and that's
and then
unpleasant.
They question their whole lives.
So has our has our generation, or our, at least our, let's say, these people in this room, have we hit a point of, like, first world say advancement, to where we have, like, a privilege of being more psychologically kind of, like, aware, or just treated a little better or a little bit more expectant of...
I think it's we've just had more time to reflect upon it. Like, we did not have children super early. When you have children super early, I think you have less time to reflect because you're immediately in that moment. And to say if we've, like, progressed past that point or not, you know, we also have not had children, so we can't say, like, we treat them differently.
Well, I didn't say anything about treating anybody differently.
That's the thing. Like, that would be how we would know if we evolved.
Yeah.
We don't know because we're not there.
The scientific version. version of that is to have children and test this hypothesis.
Yeah. Let's test it on some children.
Well, my hypothetical child is very well adjusted.
Hypothetically, I am parent of the year.
They are so happy and so strong.
In a decade. You know who loves me? My parents, my kids, and all the children in the class.
My hypothetical all the children child. In the school. My hypothetical child defeated Trump.
That's right.
Just fought him.
So our hypothetical babies are great. Real babies, we don't know what we actually do. We like to think we'd be better than our parents, but we can't say because our parents thought they'd be better than their parents.
But I'm even saying like our emotional dispositions.
They did.
I guess, I mean, yeah, who knows? All right.
Well, I feel like parents either think they're going to be better than their parents or they think nothing was wrong with their parents and don't see the abuse that they've gone through.
Yeah. It worked for me. I came up okay.
Yeah. That whole thing. Like, I got beaten when I was a kid. So
made me stronger.
Yeah.
I feel bad for those people who haven't had long enough to like be introspective to realize like, no, all of that was really unhealthy actually.
Well, as my therapist says, you can only reflect upon yourself from where you are now. Yeah. So they could be reflecting people, but they're only reflecting from the perspective they have right now.
Exactly.
So you can never fully reflect upon yourself.
Like,
that's why therapy is a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we could handle it all ourselves just by reflecting, we wouldn't. There would be no therapy profession.
Yeah, I know.
Damn it. Wait, so does therapy actually help you guide you through it, or is it just a sounding board?
I think therapy helps me guide it because there are times when I'll say things to my therapist and he'll be like,
okay.
He doesn't say it like that. That's my millennial voice.
Yeah,
he does not have a millennial voice.
If you do two of it, it can be the Valencia Heather.
But he'll be like, so why
someone joining double harmony.
Exactly. Yes. Just like that. But no, he'll be like, look, you're in a cycle right now and you can't see it because you're actually in it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This is like, here's what you're doing that's wrong.
Yeah, you need objective.
Let's work to fix it.
That's cool. That's what I would want out of therapy.
Yes.
And have never found in a therapist. So.
I know. I'm so, like I said, I'm so afraid he's going to retire. I'm like, you can't. You're the only one.
How long have you been seeing this particular
therapist? I've been seeing him for about a year, which is longer than any therapy I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
But, you know, it's one of those things that, like, even the other day, he's like, you're really wound up. Let's meditate right now. We're going to take 10 minutes. Yeah.
Really
I was like, that's so great. And he's like, I need you to download this app right now.
Wow.
Okay. Now let's talk about your life again. And next time I see you, I want to hear that you've been meditating every day because you need it.
Good.
And I was like, oh, thanks.
It's really cute.
But yeah, so therapy can really work, but it is. It's you, but that was the thing that I learned because I used to think that I was such a reflective person. And I am. Mm-hmm. I reflect a lot. It's part of the profession I was in. It's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but you're reflecting from within your own parameters.
Exactly.
Your own limitations,
and so I couldn't see the potholes, as he calls them, because I just kept falling into them and dying. Yeah.
Struggling.
Struggle bus.
The problem I'm having, or like the show, this episode's particularly like threw like at me was, earlier this year was really, really rough for me.
Yeah.
But I'm like 3, 4, 6 months out from it.
Yeah.
So I don't remember how bad it was.
Because you black it out as soon as you freaking can.
And I was like, things are okay now. Things are great. Like, I know I was suicidal or thinking about suicide every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was 20 minutes. It wasn't quite 15 minutes, but it was really close. It was every 20 minutes. I'd be like, oh, my God, I could just die right now and everything would be fine.
Yeah.
And then I would go about my day at work or whatever. And just it was so bad.
Yeah.
And I've blacked it out enough to be like, oh, well, I'm fine now. But that's still so recent.
Yeah.
I can't be out of it. Like, clearly, that's not how that works.
But you do block it out as quickly as possible. But when you're in it, I don't know about you, but when I'm in it, I remember every single other time I've been in it. And then all of a sudden, like, you're in this, you do the cycle all the time. This is really bad.
And that's what this episode, like, really, like, threw at me. It was like, oh my God, those feelings are still real. They're still, like, strong. You still empathize with this feeling of despair.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, you got to, like, get help before it gets worse.
And you get to see these little points where, like, they kind of teased us, like, oh, she's getting low. She's looking better. Oh, she's looking better, you know?
Yep.
And then we dipped right back down, and it was like, oh, okay, obviously that is something we all go through or experience like that was...
Well, and that's the thing with depression. Like, you're in it, but it comes in waves as well. Like, it's not always the same level of bad.
Yeah, you can have relapses into it. And it's an up and down thing.
But, like, even in a depressive state, you might have, like, this one happy moment. You're like, oh, man, I had a happy moment. And then as soon as it's done, you're like, oh, there it's gone.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, because you can't hold that happiness.
I'm pretty sure that I've been depressed since I was like 8.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Just,
yeah.
And just never in like a full state of recovery from some level of depression. Mm-hmm. Like I think I mentioned it last time, last week. I bought this Time, like Science of Emotions magazine, mm-hmm. and it's very beneficial and but one of the things they talked about is like people's relative happiness, how like one level of what's considered happy for one person may not be anywhere near what happy is for another person.
Yeah.
Because we all exist at different levels of emotion, like different emotional dispositions.
Well, yeah.
To where, yeah, you're not necessarily going to, whatever you accept as happy might not be what somebody who's like, you know, in some elated stage or something or
everybody's different. You're on a different journey.
Yeah.
To say that, like, yeah, so of course they're going to be different. And even just like, yeah.
Well, and some people's expectations are lower too. Like, you know, the people that grew up in the Great Depression be like, well, I've got food and a job.
Exactly.
You know, I'm fine.
I've got like 3 flannel shirts. I'm good.
Or
I'm
I have like 6 months a storage of detergent. So I'm really happy right now.
I washed my socks today. It's a good day.
I mean, that is a good day.
Yeah. It is. Your feet get nice and like warm, that cushiony kind of hug. Mm-hmm. I like a nice cushiony foot hug.
Oh, so back to the episode. We hear that a new lady is coming in the office, also known as a femme-identifying cisgender woman.
Huh? What?
Yeah, I don't know if they added woman, but cisgendered.
No. She's like, a lady.
What does that mean?
She's
like a lady. Yeah, it's a lady.
Oh, before that, Paul is in bed depressed. It's her and Rebecca's Facebook
friendversary.
Yeah. And Scott says, we want to spend more time with you.
Yeah,
and
Mom.
Brendan and Tommy come in.
Scott says it a couple times, we want to spend more time with you. And then they slowly slink around that corner.
I already spent $20 on illegal fireworks, so we're going to hang out.
I love that. How he lays that out. Yeah. Mom, this is happening or not. All right, I got things to do.
Tommy learned from Rebecca. Just lay it out. Be honest.
We could hang out and shoot off fireworks together. Or
that's right. Oh, and then, you know, when Paul is like, oh, I just want to sit here and watch this video. Then Scott's
they call
like,
out the big guns.
Do it. Grab it. No, Dad.
I'm not doing it. No, get it, get it. And then they pull out a beautiful princess game.
Fancy Fairy Funhouse.
And Paula is beside herself with happiness. Yes.
I only get to play that game when my daughter comes in, when my sister comes in with her daughters, because you guys hate to play that game because of your stupid penises.
If I pulled one more clip, it would have been Paula crying the word penises. Yes.
Stupid penises.
Stupid penises. Yes.
I love that she's crying. Stupid penises.
Foreshadowing for the bawling you'll be doing later in the episode.
No.
Some legit emotion.
I had
a mom.
Oh yeah, sorry.
That's it.
Oh, okay. I had like an epiphany. I don't know. It might be the wrong word for it, but I started thinking if Paula were at the office when that resignation letter came through, and when Nathaniel said we have to transfer somebody else in. How much of an explosion would there have been?
There would have been an explosion. She would have conference called Naomi at the same time she's exploding at Nathaniel, being like, you know what? I'm not doing this twice.
I'm moving the firm to New York.
Yeah.
Like
we're all coming.
Yeah.
Exactly. Open your doors because about 6 people are going to come busting in.
Like two
rhinos. Rebecca, I've memorized your credit card number. I'm using it to get myself to New York.
I can't afford them myself, but you are going to buy us all tickets.
Exactly. Because, you know, she knows everything about her friend.
Nathaniel's private jet. We'll take them all.
Of course it would. And then you can have some booze with travel.
But he's so sad now and broken.
That's okay. He'll take the alligator.
He's like,
with him.
I'm not
it's a comfort
fighting.
Item. It'll be fine.
We got to talk about that alligator. Because that's one of the things I was. Because during the episode, Rachel and Eileen and a bunch of the other writers were all all answering questions about, you know, the episode, what people would ask. And someone asked about the alligator. And they kind of said, like, it's a symbol for Rebecca, which we all hit on last week. Go us. And then two, it's been there since the beginning. And there's like season 1 promo shots of Rebecca and this alligator. And it's so cool.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So I
have to. That is pretty awesome.
And people are like, clear. I never saw it. And you're like, it's been here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they think of everything like that. That mover that was in this episode was in that very first episode in that whole montage where she's talking to all these strangers about like how she didn't move here for Josh and all that.
No habla inglés.
Oh, of course. I can't even.
So good.
I can't even imagine writing something so well-crafted because my memory is so crappy.
Well, you also have, like, a team of people.
Yeah.
And so, like, even if you don't remember it, someone's going to be like, man, you know what I really loved? I loved the alligator. Mm-hmm. You guys remember the alligator? Why isn't he coming back?
Yep.
You know it was a symbol. We got to use that symbol.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it connects perfectly to the zoo.
He loves the zoo.
The more that you write and the longer you focus on it, too, you find that you're able to kind of use those devices more, like they click into your brain.
It's all
a little
callbacks
more often.
Too, though. Yeah.
Oh, and they have a hive mind. Oh, by the way, when Paula is watching the Friendversary and they talk about the cookie, you know, like it's the first time they talk cookie, and it's not a real cookie because it's not a cookie pizza because there's no cheese or anything. I'm like, cheese. There it is
again. Another verse.
Exactly, the lack of cheese shows her.
I wonder
lack
if they. Do you think that
excitement?
Oh, like, oh,
no, go ahead.
I wonder, did they decide like we're in a suburb, so everything has cheese on it? So like they're just going to mention cheese in every episode?
I like to think they heard my song and they're man, this lady.
Well, I feel like there's a bigger millennial push for cheese lately. I feel like it's everyone's go-to joke.
Well, not to mention in Adam Ruins Everything, he talks about how...
Does he have an episode about cheese?
He has an episode about cheese.
He's got an episode about everything.
Well, it was during the
everything
Great Depression.
Needs to be ruined.
Everything has to be ruined.
You can't have anything nice.
Oh, and Moose showed this thing about this podcast episode of Adam's Ruins Everything where Rachel Bloom.
We're all gonna do
was
this
on it. And then I listened to it and it was really good. Like I loved it. It was talking about the red carpet thing and how they actually hung out a while back. So talking about him is actually talking about Rebecca. But during the Great Depression, when all the prices were going down, there were a lot of farmers and a lot of milk and a lot of dairy. And so there was a big push then for cheese. And so that was part of the relief effort.
That makes sense because cheese is basically a way to preserve milk.
Yeah.
I like it.
So there we go.
Dr. Angela.
Yeah. Oh, and did you also know Andrew Jackson one time, I think it was Andrew Jackson, was one time given, and this was off The Dollop, which is a different podcast. No, he was given like the biggest cheese gift ever. It was so big that he ended up giving some away to people.
You mean he like fed his slaves?
Jackson cheese.
He had an event at the White House, and everyone was supposed to have cheese at this event because it was going bad, and then he actually hid some for the next president
so
the White House would smell bad.
Was it really because he wanted it to smell bad?
He was a dick.
Yeah.
So, okay, good. Yeah. Two stories here. So. One, I was a dick in high school. And
did you hide cheese for people?
My senior prank was putting milk in the overhead tiles of the of the darkroom lab.
That's
because photography is dying.
Oh, God.
And you wanted to kill it more?
I don't know. I was really mad that it was dying.
Actually, guys, I'm deep.
The teacher of the photography class and I did not get along. So I think it was mostly that. But I don't know why we didn't get along so much. But probably because I would write essays like, photography is a dying art and it's not real. As someone with it's my profession now, so I don't know where that comes from. two, my favorite event at a White House story is actually Zachary Taylor.
Who's Zachary Taylor?
He's like one of those like presidents that didn't really matter, but like an elementary school is named after him. But he like threw
I keep like 10 in my head.
He threw a maybe not. God, no. I'm second guessing if it was him. But anyways, there's some president that threw a 4th of July event.
Yeah.
And they had iced milk, which is a cheapo form of iced cream before we had ice cream. And it was iced milk and cherries. And it was like presented to him as a gift. And it had gone bad. So he ate it and he ended up dying from it.
Wow.
Some president. I don't know which one.
Oh my
I'm never name dropping again because I get names wrong so bad. I'm so bad with names.
No, you guys, what we'll do is we'll just end up making it a bingo game. We'll do all your name drops.
All my name drops that were like half of a name. Like
half of a name. And we'll put their real names and their fake names. And then we can find out who gets bingo.
I love it. I think we're good.
I still got half a beer. Oh, good times. Oh, so we meet the new person in the office, mm-hmm. Cornelia Wickfield.
It is Cornelia.
Yes, Cornelia.
Because I was like driving over, I'm like, is it Cornelia or Cordelia? Back to me not knowing names, but.
Ooh, Cordelia. That was
Cordelia's
she was
a great
angel.
Name.
Yeah.
I like the name Cordelia.
She had beautiful hair.
All right, so when she came out, I was so desperate for something wacky to happen. Mm-hmm. I was like, she looks really familiar. Maybe it's Audra Levine in a fat suit. And I tweeted it, and then I felt really bad because I was like, I'm fat shaming this poor woman. It's not a fat suit. It's fine. I deleted it. I felt so bad. But I couldn't figure out why she felt so familiar. Because also, like, I figured out before the shame, I was like, wait, Audra Levine doesn't have blue eyes, so I'm just fat shaming someone, and I'm an idiot. So
that was some good sleuthing, though.
But so I was like, okay, I have to delete it. I'm bad. I'm waiting. I want something wacky to happen. Like, if this was a real sitcom, of course, like, Rebecca's enemy would show up in disguise to the office to do her snooping and figure out why is this girl gone crazy and why is she back in Scarsdale. But it's actually more like real life than that. So, but just to like go full the way, all the way around, the actress who is playing Cornelia plays a writer on The Comeback.
Ooh.
And it's a really good show. And she, like, that character's really good because it's just like the one woman character that is smart and is a writer and gets shit on all the time.
Oh, that sounds normal.
Yeah. And it's like, she's great. It's a really good show. And then she's a really good character on that show. So when I finally put it all together, I was like, oh, this is good. Like,
yeah. So you did notice her. You did remember her from
somewhere. Yeah, it was from something. It wasn't just like wackiness.
Yeah. And even though she was normal, everyone else becomes the wackadoo. And oh, I feel like that's very real
life too. That was the wackiness I was craving.
Yes. So it came to you.
It came out in a way that was like.
Just in a different package.
Just really normal. The easiest solution to a problem.
Yes. Oh, speaking of packages, you know how a few episodes ago we talked about the fact that I was going to buy gifts for everyone and wrap them a month early?
You're not?
I bought them.
Oh.
I just have to wrap them and then I'm going to forget about what they are, just like I said, and then we can have them here. So just want you to know, it's already happened. I already have time to forget.
I might try that too. Sorry. Jeez.
So, and then I like that immediately Maya goes into this thing where she's like, Lena Dunham, pumpkin spice lattes, basic or not? I don't know what she said about Lena Dunham. And then also diets. Are they okay? And then Jim sees her and she's like, he's like, flint and steel sparks. Did you see those sparks?
We didn't, Jim. They weren't there.
They weren't there.
What's he say? Spark sound. Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah, Cornelia is really professional and normal. So everybody else is.
Well, she's the complete opposite of Rebecca. I mean, she's just like really focused and dialed down. And
like, this is a dysfunctional workplace, so you put somebody in there that's like used to actually working.
Yeah.
And of course it's going to be funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess in case you forgot, this workplace is not how you should work.
Yes.
You should be on the job.
And Rebecca only vamped it up, you know, like with her time there.
Right in.
And she validated it by being like a high power New York lawyer.
Yeah.
By bringing her craziness. They're like, oh, this is how this works. This is cool.
We can
be as ridiculous as we want and talk about vagina all the time.
You guys were legitimate now.
Yeah.
A lot of lawyers are probably batshit crazy.
Like, oh, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
Probably, but a lot of them are doing a better job at pretending they're not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're more like this where they're like, oh, I've read up on all the cases. I'm ready to go. Just find me my desk.
Yeah. And then they do their cocaine alone.
Exactly. You need cocaine.
And when people try to talk to them, they throw their half frozen burrito in the trash and, you know, go hide somewhere. Obviously.
Didn't want it anyway.
I'm teething.
Oh, that was the line. It was so good.
I love that line. I was like, oh, that's so good.
That's a really good line. This is the benefit of rewatching that because the rest of us are emotional messes.
Well, and you know, like, yeah. being a previous early childhood person, I'm like, teething, I love it. Yay.
It hit it. It hit all my needs.
It hit all my needs. Go run and hide and teeth.
So Nathaniel loves that he's got Cornelia in the office because he's like, wow, you're so professional. It's such a breath of fresh air.
But at the same time, second draft?
Yeah. Yeah. This is great. The first draft was perfect.
And then after that, I believe we go back to Rebecca with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And mom happens to pull the computer that she was looking at, and they showed the suicide, like the top nine ways or the nine least painful ways. But the thing that really upset me was that it actually flashed through and it showed some of them. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
Was like,
I mean, what, they had to jar us.
Number five, hit by a train. Number four, hanging. And number three, carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
I was like, hit by a train really made the list.
They had to sell the emotion of it. Well, like, they were purposely trying to jar people to really sell the...
It's how terrible suicide is.
Yeah.
It's jarring.
Well, back to, like, my... like, because I, of course, I discussed this with people beforehand.
Yeah.
And it was like, with my online friends, one of them was like... talking about how his therapist has requested he stay away from train tracks because most suicides are just a split decision.
Like an instantaneous.
Yeah, like you're in panic and that's what happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not a rational choice or it's not a plan. And something like a train track is not so painful and very quick.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the problem is then someone has to live with that forever.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I've heard depression kind of described in a smart way, or suicide as well. Like the survivors often, like, you know, but how selfish they kind of blame the person who killed themselves for the pain that they're going through. How could they do that? It's so selfish that, you know, but the suicidal, it's, I just need to find a way to make this go away.
I know.
And to make this pain stop. And I actually read, I had it articulated like that in a book that I was reading by, or an article or something, David Foster Wallace, who's a well-known author, college professor from the – he killed himself in the early 2000s.
I didn't realize he did.
But he, in one of his articles talking about depression, said, like, it's not about – you know, nobody kills themselves because they're being selfish. It's they just need to find a way to make that pain stop that they're going through.
No, I was just meaning, like, and, the driver of the train, though. Like,
You
get to live with your life now and be like, I killed somebody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. True. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not what's going through.
No, I know. I know it's not what's going through the person's head. I'm just stating a fact that is something that is
fact. I'm completely on the wrong page.
No, you're on a different page.
Different page.
They're not wrong pages. They're just different chapters. But... actually, some guy I was seeing a couple months ago, his roommate killed himself within the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's a hard situation to begin with, but, like, it's one of those where, like, he went cold on me, and it's – I can maybe kind of, like, touched on this in another episode where I'm just like, George is like, hey, she's busy, she's blowing you off. And that's not usually the case because usually life comes in.
Yeah.
And, like, always from my perspective, it's not like, oh, she's blowing you off. It's usually like, oh, well, life happened and then you don't follow back up. And for him, he kind of got cold on me and I was like, not going to follow back up. And then he kind of came out as like, well, my roommate died. And then it comes out that his roommate killed himself and he found the body. And
oh, my goodness.
It's super traumatic. And then at the same time, like, I don't feel like I can reconnect either because he's in such pain. And I was like such a like new presence in his life. I was like, I don't want to be something to.
You don't want to be someone to latch on to at the same time.
Exactly. So I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, it's. It, to just talk about like why suicide is hard or difficult, it's just like shit. Like, I am like removed from the situation. I am just some girl that went on like a handful of dates with a guy, and suddenly I have to like consider like, well, is it kind for me to go hang out with him when I know he's hurting so bad because his roommate was hurting so bad?
Yeah. Maybe the kindest thing to do is like tell him you need to find somebody to talk to or something.
Yeah,
like
the kindest thing is to be like, oh no, let's not. Go out and fuck. Like, let's like, I don't want to say, like, let's be friends, but like, let's just, I don't know.
I think I'll call you in a week.
I'll see how you're doing, but like, let's not.
Screwing would be a great way to hide your pain.
Yeah. Like, he'd be like, he's asked me to come over and watch movies in like the place his roommate has died.
Is he exploiting this or something? Well, no, he's in pain.
He's in pain, or he's like, it doesn't matter if he's in pain or he's exploiting it. It's weird either way, and it's not healthy for him either.
No, no, I think.
And I don't think it's a kind thing for me to do, to be like, yeah, I'll go watch movies at your place.
No, not at all.
Because I know you're either in pain or exploiting something, or just even if you wanted to just to watch movies to hang out with me, like after going through something like that.
Well, it's one of those things that you want an emotional connection. But in this moment, if you have someone who's in this kind of situation, you have to fear that they're going to imprint on you, right? And that's one of the things where they're like, I need someone. I need to not be alone in this moment because this devastating thing happened to me. And it is devastating. Finding someone after they commit suicide is devastating.
Or if, like, beyond anything I can imagine. Yeah. So I'm just like, I can't be a kind person and, like...
Because now everything's a little twisted.
Yeah, it's very twisted. So.
Well, you're not... I mean, if you want to, I don't know, alleviate yourself, you're not being a kind person by going to hang out with him just because you feel bad for him or something.
No, that would
like
be terrible,
like,
too.
Well, yeah. It's more so, you have to do what feels right to you. Like, and you have to... It's a trust your gut kind of moment. And you're trusting your gut.
I'm trusting my gut.
And that's the important thing.
And I'm being kind in how much information I give to him at any given time. But if he listens to this podcast, I'm kind of fucked.
Well, if you listen to this podcast, all of a sudden you're like,
then it's all on the table.
Then
it's all
on the podcast. He should find like a professional you'll talk to, or somebody who can deal with somebody who's having an emotional.
Well, he had an argument with me, and he ran off to his parents, and that was kind of like, And I was like, you know what? That's fine. Like, I'll never.
Unless his mom is Naomi Bunch, it's probably better.
Yeah, and I think she's a nice person, so I'm just like, well, you're good.
He's full of emotions.
You got a nice family that'll support you. Sweet,
I gotta get out of here right now. Yeah, he's just. He has to, he's working
I don't
want to
be your Naomi Bunch, man.
Exactly. I don't want to be your Naomi.
She's a heinous bitch.
She's a heinous bitch who tears away your pain.
But if you want some drugs, I can drug your milkshake.
She's not a doctor, is she? No.
Naomi?
No.
She seems like she could be, though. She feels like she would have that.
I think she was supposed to be a lawyer. It's kind of
one of those things. Yeah.
And then she has her daughter.
And so you think, like, her whole life she has this suppressed intelligence thing, right? Like, where she had so much that she could go for, and instead she, like, minimized her life a little bit. In her case, she considered it minimized. Mm-hmm. Like, some people would say, no, I appreciate this new challenge, whatever. But no, she was like, you took my life away from me. And so she's always kind of held it against Rebecca as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's why Rebecca has to be 10 times anything she would have been anyway. Mm-hmm.
True story. We have the mom looks at the website, and then we go back to the workplace, and this is where Maya asks her new friend to sign her form,
and she's into it. She's like, I get it. I did. That's so great.
Shut up.
Shut up. I can't even.
Stop. Stop. Shut up. You just stop and shut up. You're just too amazing. Honestly.
I love how they're projecting on this poor woman.
Yeah.
This isn't about me.
And it's so funny that...
Can't wait to get to that song.
I mean,
no.
From her perspective, she's like, I just signed a piece of paper. Like, I didn't do anything.
I just want... Also, like, who doesn't want to be, like, a cool professional mentor to someone? Yeah. Exactly. And then they treat you with shut up. I can't
even.
And you're
like,
this is not true. I've made a mistake.
It's like when you find a friend at work and you're like, hey, you want to go hang out after work sometime? Mm-hmm. And they're like... And immediately they're like, oh my God, really? That would be so great. Do you want my phone number? Do you want my Facebook? Can we be Facebook friends now? And you know what else? Do you want to see my house? Do you want to see my cat? Would you want to be the godmother of my cat? And so it's just, you're like, wow, I have to work with you now. This sucks.
Yeah. We've got to get Cheech Grant godparents.
If this is a co-working relationship, maybe reconsider now. But as friends, we would love to be godmothers.
Yeah, we'd love to be friend mothers.
And this is where
Kitty godmothers.
Yeah. So Maya asked Cornelia to be a mentor. Daryl emailed Cornelia about her his problems with a white Josh. I don't know. Mm-hmm. There was some kind of typo in
there. Oh, yeah, because he said someone with the name of White. He's like, oh, it's supposed to be White Josh.
I think it was White Joe. No. White
or is it Y?
I don't know.
She just called him White. I think she was like, somebody named White.
Yeah, yeah, it was an autocorrect thing, but yeah. I don't know how. I guess
maybe it was one of those things, like sometimes when I write too fast, I forget letters. And so maybe he just forgets a whole word.
Well, they did make a joke a long time ago about Daryl not knowing how to, like, the different, like, how to spell separate or separate.
It's a hard one.
Yeah.
I think it's
with the
E-R-A.
Well, yeah.
How do you separate those separate letters? Like,
it's
guys.
Really hard.
Separate is A-R-A-T-E.
They're both, they're all the same, I think.
Are they? Yeah. Separate?
They're difficult.
But, oh, and then she gives Jim that calendar. Cornelia,
you're giving me a gift?
Rebecca's calendar. Yes.
I was just going to recycle it.
And then Jim sings in one describable instant.
And Mrs. Hernandez like throws her files down. She's like, no.
Don't do that.
Nope.
We just got rid of the fairy tale, bitch. Go away.
Yeah. Don't you become it. You're too ripped for that.
Yeah, he's too ripped for that.
We find out Jim can sing. Like, I mean, everybody can sing, but we hear him sing by himself.
Because we haven't yet.
I hope he gets a good song soon.
Yes!
We heard him tweedle-eedle-ee in the background of a song earlier in the
But Tim got a song. Jim deserves a song.
He's getting there.
He'll get one.
They gave George like you said, they're rotating.
Tim got a good song.
They do one after the other.
Can't have too many male
That's right.
story arcs. We don't
you
want
can't.
That.
Mm-mm.
No
but
way.
But Tim got a very good song. I like that song a lot.
I still think about it most days.
Can't make my wife. Oh.
And then we're back at Naomi's, and she's made Rebecca a strawberry milkshake.
Mm-hmm. Is Rebecca this one of those like fat-free diet, like 90-calorie things?
No, it's real ice cream.
That's the first sign. So, I mean, if it...
Well, she says, this is the first time you've encouraged me to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it's a huge red flag. Yeah, I guess this is all still stuff I watched at work. And I was like, she's being drugged. I'm done.
Yeah.
I am so done.
It's just that she gets all this healthy attention after Naomi finds out that it's gotten this bad. And it's like, if she was getting this kind of attention throughout her lifetime, she might have ended up a lot better off.
Or even if she got this healthy attention because she's this bad and then wasn't being drugged.
Yeah.
Totally fine. Totally cool.
If mom was like, I'll make you a milkshake and here's some popcorn and let's play Twister when she's not being drugged, then it's different.
Then it's perfectly fine.
And it's not like any of those meds work instantaneously anyways. They always take like 30 days at least to start to really have like a full effect.
Like a Xanax will calm you down.
Okay.
In like 30 minutes.
But we don't know what it was.
I think it was like an anxiety drug.
They had the name of
it. They did have the name. Didn't write it down though.
They didn't have the brand name. They had the actual medical name.
The generic.
It began with a D, and I didn't write it down either.
Yeah. Honestly, not that crazy important. Just assuming it's an anxiety med that, you know, boosts your mood for a bit. And then there's a commercial break, because that's when I went away, and I was like, I can't do this. I'm going to go to a shooting to feel better. Or a house fire, whatever my job makes me do. I watch, like, because I watch the show while I'm doing my job, which is news photography, the jarringness is so fucking weird.
That would not, it's like, I'm going to go do some work to alleviate this feeling. And then,
nope, this is just someone dying.
That's
okay,
a severed
but
foot.
It's kinda,
oh, shit.
Okay, all right.
Oh, you guys, I just looked it up. It's DOLSPIRONE, 1.5 milligrams.
Dill, what was it?
DOL.
DOL.
As in dole.
Dolphins.
SPI as in spiral.
Okay. So
with an R for the spiral. And ONE as in I am all alone and one.
Okay. So dolphin spiraling down.
One.
To be one by themselves.
Dolsparone?
1.5 milligrams of alone.
Okay. I was going to Google
Any callers out there, if you're on Dolsparone, please. Feel free to give us a ring. We'd like to hear your experience.
Oh, and I like that it's from Dr. Authorized.
Oh, that's really cute. Okay, so I was going to Google that, and I've gotten distracted because Amy is on her way. I think, which is exciting. And Rachel Bloom liked my tweet.
Shut up.
What tweet?
awesome. The one that says we're going live from podcastdetroit.com.
Oh, my God.
Shut up.
I can't even.
I can't even.
It's it. It's over. God. Shut it down.
Oh, God.
Shut it down.
We have to be good.
Oh, no. We just peed.
Was she listening this whole time? Oh, no. Oh, no. What'd she hear us say?
I have to hide. I have to go into hiding.
I'm changing my name. I'm changing my name.
Stop.
Call
Shut
the FBI
up.
And put us in the witness protection program. We're done.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
I got nothing.
Let's just sit here for the next hour.
I'm sorry, I was distracted.
That was such a high crest. Like, now the trough is just going to be like, poof. Yeah. Like, we're just.
Oh, my goodness.
That's why
I was distracted, guys.
I can understand why you're distracted. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Anyway, she's
so
being
back drunk. To Dulcebaro.
There it says. I'm taking a screenshot right now
of what it says. Like,
of her liking our post. Of your post, which I consider our post.
It's our post.
We're all here. Wee! I'll like us as well. That's
we're pretty cool.
Like... I'm sorry, continue.
Where were we?
That's exciting. Okay. We were talking about the Dulcebaro.
See if it's real, a real drug. Did you mean Miami Dolphins? No.
Did we skip Paula and her family having fun playing that game?
No, I think it is soon.
Okay.
Nope. We did not skip it.
I have a clip of that couple. We can listen to if you want to hear them scenes. Having fun.
No, couple scenes up. Dulcebaro is not a real drug.
Yeah, so it might not be because it suggests into drospirone, and which is a progestin-used birth control pill.
So, oh, yeah, that's what I got, too. Or aldospirone.
She was given her fertility drugs?
Yeah, that would be weird. Oh, postmenopausal? Okay.
All right. Well, that makes sense for, who gave it to her. Probably not that great.
But she did herself say they were given to her by her doctor for the high holidays. So I'm assuming Xanax.
Buspirone is to treat anxiety.
Oh.
Buspirone. So I think they just changed some of the words.
Baby's here.
Hi.
Yeah, we're never getting back on track because we're so excited.
We're never getting back on track again.
Your hair looks cute.
Yeah, it does look really cute. Sorry for all my cups.
Podcast in like two and a half months.
I was saying, it's been a while. Whenever we switch to Wednesdays, which you can't come to.
Yeah.
We were just given shocking news by Moosh.
We were doing our podcast as normal and probably saying embarrassing stuff about ourselves or the show. And Rachel Bloom liked my post saying, listen live.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I know.
And we all became millennials and we're all dead now.
Oh, my God. That's so exciting.
So she either liked it or she's listening and we all just embarrassed ourselves. Oh, my God.
If you're listening, hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
If you're just our regular fans, hey.
Hey, girl, hey.
You're the best.
We love you.
She probably already knew about us because,
you do.
I tweeted
rumor on
once.
The street is this whole podcast is us just saying she's awesome. So yeah.
Whatever she's need to pick me up today.
I'll listen to that podcast. It's just like I'm a genius. So let's hear Paula playing board games with her family.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Oh, I just want to say real quick: vaginal steaming.
Yes.
And professionalism. Okay. There we go.
Keep that in mind for the HR complaint.
Boom. You're the princess.
Wait, why are you bopping Brennan? I totally have more fairy dust than he does.
Oh, boom. Sucks to be you. That makes me the pixie princess, bitches. Now give me all your gumdrops. I'm heading to the Frosty Cotillion. Oh. Thank you.
Wait, can we just do this again? I totally messed up at the Rainbow Rainforest.
You guys, this is really fun. Thank you. Let's just
roll.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yay!
It's really fun.
And she has that relief smile, which I think is really sweet, of like, I've been super sad, and thank you so much for embarrassing yourself to make me feel better.
Yeah, and getting into it.
Yeah.
Her emotional acting is perfect.
Like, it's
really
brilliant.
Yeah.
True story.
She hits all of it perfectly.
And it's good, the good actor back. which Angela mentioned last week, and I'm like, oh yeah, that is him.
What?
Yeah,
the son,
the ripped Brandon.
Oh, the other Brendan, the first Brendon.
The Brendon.
Was there a Brendan in between?
I think they switched it. They recast him with kind of like a scrawnier looking guy at one point.
And then they brought this guy back. Yeah.
They had ominous knife Brendan, and then they had like skinny pyro Brendan, and now they're back to ominous knife Brendan.
Rachel Bloom. Rachel Bloom, if you're listening, tweet at us. Please explain what happened with that in 140 characters.
I'm sure he was like on X-Men or something.
He seems like an X-Man. He looks perfect for X-Men. Yeah. He looks like a bandit.
He was a young beast.
Oh, that'd be great, too.
Oh.
That would be really cute. That's a spinoff I want.
Young Beast.
Young Beast.
He's adorable. So what happens next, Angela?
Oh, gosh. We're back at Naomi's. She's doing a crossword puzzle with Rebecca, involving her in it. Calling her smarty pants and
blank you blank 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 tension. Yeah, what is it? Same. Surface.
Yes, surface tension.
Yeah, she won't leave her side because she's worried about her.
Well, she's being sweet.
Yeah, she is.
I mean, yeah, it's she's drugging at the same time, but yeah, it's a little Clockwork Orangey, but it's very sweet.
She's trying.
Yeah.
Even get like the suspicious Rebecca look, like, you want me
Why are you being so nice to me?
You want me to join in? Okay, I'm fine. I'm cool. Yeah. This is great. Thanks, Mom.
Do you know where we are, Amy?
We're in the show.
Oh, yeah.
We're right around to get to the first song.
Which is a very good song.
Yes!
I have no clips from this song, even though it's the best song.
It is the best song.
Motown Wall of Sound kind of a
which was also the style of Santa Ana.
Kind of starts off with like the Ana feel, like the few first chords, and then it goes off into something else.
Yeah,
something so weird's going on here. Yeah, something weird's happening, and it's gonna get shitty.
Yeah,
that's kind of what it pretends, I guess.
I'm hoping Shannon's about to sing.
Oh, you want me to sing this? Well, hang on a moment while I look up lyrics. Because like I said, I had a hard time taking notes for this episode. It was just, it hit a little too close. What's the name of the song?
Heinous Bitch.
Heinous Bitch?
Something like that.
Yeah. How do you spell heinous?
Maybe my mom.
H-E-I-N-O-U-S.
Maybe she isn't such a heinous bitch after all. Is that the full title?
I think so. Maybe old age has made her into a doll, like a creepy doll. Yeah. One of the haunted ones.
I used to think my mother was the worst. That if she didn't kill me, I'd kill her first. But now birds are singing, the flowers are pink. Yes, spring is here, because I'm starting to think maybe she's not such a heinous bitch after all.
After all.
I don't want to bash her head in with this cup. It may sound harsh, but that's a huge step up. This is not the tune, but I'm making it up. Maybe she's not such a heinous bitch after all. Oh, and I love that she's like, I hate her, don't get me wrong, but I hate her the way normal girls hate their mom.
That's real.
Every daughter kind of hates their mom. And I like that they're doing the whole, like, what is it, like the flicking off from the chin thing that everyone does in middle school so that you're not actually, like, giving the finger and you don't get in detention.
I think it's like an Italian bird or something like that.
Oh, there we go.
I think it is.
Fly, my pretty!
But then they get into, like, the weird Freudian subconscious.
The fact that they spelled it out is perfect. So they're like, I know it sounds like I'm falling in love.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone, when you're looking for a mate, is kind of looking for their parents.
Yes.
And she was my first failed romance.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and I like that.
That's so perfect.
Yeah. And then also, all I ever prayed for every day was to resent my mother in the regular way. And then for once, I don't want her to have a cancerous mole. Dark.
That's where dark is.
I wish I could sing this tune better. Like, I heard it a few times, but it's just not like one that like sits in my brain as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, the mate. My relationship with her was my first failed romance. Now, finally, the cute boy's asking me to dance. Aww.
It's really cute.
Yeah.
Dark.
And it's not real.
Since you were born, she never made you popcorn.
Yeah.
She never made you popcorn.
I had a realization while that song was playing that between my sister and I, my sister who's a year younger than me, mm-hmm. I'm the daughter and my sister's the son.
Oh, boy. In what way?
You resent your mother?
I think I'm the one who has more of like the normal resentment toward a parent, whereas my sister will be the one who's like, Jimmy, shut up. Like, oh, and that's just like an honest truth. That
you guys want a fun fact?
It does not at all, what in any way, trump the love that I have for my
there
mom.
There you go.
I think.
This
No, I had a real... I visited my mom today and no one died.
Yay!
Really
victory!
She told me the same story she told me on the phone Monday.
Was it about how she had birthed you?
No, it was about some doctor's appointment or some way she's dying and I should feel bad.
Oh, boy.
Jeez. And I managed to not be a total bitch about it.
Yay! Congratulations. Yeah. That's hard.
Yeah, it's fine. But
oh, hey, you know what else about this episode?
Yeah.
It came out on my birthday.
Whoa.
Yeah, it did.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to me.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that on Facebook.
Yeah. Birthday. Okay. Facebook lets people know so they can wish me happy birthday.
I'm bad at that. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
You apologized for not telling somebody happy birthday on Facebook. Is that an apology?
A real apology?
No, it was just
is it something that warrants an apology?
It was a general apology for everything.
Okay. All right. That sounds more accurate.
I appreciate the proper sentiment that went behind it of, hey, happy birthday. But yeah, mm-hmm. So that's a fun thing, too. Just wanted to put that out there. Especially for Chip Bloom's listening.
It was my birthday on Friday.
She's just like a spirit in the room right now.
Yeah. We're just like, we just
Rachel
want her
Bloom,
to
if you're listening,
love us, please.
I want a canoe for Christmas.
excuse me, everybody wants a kayak, yeah. Obviously. Ah.
That's what we're working towards here.
I have an old soul.
So yeah, we hear this song, which is so lovely, yeah,
de-lovely.
De-lovely, yeah.
Delilah.
They're wearing their matching tracksuits, which actually, like in the previews, fucked me up because I was like, they're gonna have a good relationship, and I'm never gonna have that with my mom, and it's not fair. Oh,
no. And then you're like, never
and
mind.
I'm like, it's fine. Now I'm cool with that. I mean, like, my mom's not poisoning me, and when I like. Sorry.
Oh, no, go
so,
ahead.
So, my mom has cancer, and we went through a phase where she wasn't eating, so we considered drugging her, but the farthest we got was we considered drugging her with protein shakes. So, I feel like a really good person, because I never actually drugged my mom.
That is a benevolent...
I only wanted to drug my mom with protein shakes. It was only so she'd get some more meat on her legs.
Chemo's hard, we know it. Oh God. Nope, too dark.
I was gonna continue on, I'm like, don't just, nope. Let it go. Let that one taper off.
Yep. But no, we considered ghosting her with weed, so.
Ooh.
That'd be nice.
That gives you the munchies.
Yeah, she also really hates weed. She thinks it's meth, so.
Oh, all you gotta do is grind it in a brownie, you're fine. Just give your mommy a nice little pot brownie.
And then one time we went as far as like bringing it up with the doctor.
Uh-huh.
And like, because they have like the synthetic weed, which I mean is stupid.
Why would you do that?
Super stupid.
But it's great.
They do the synthetic weed for, you know, medical reasons and legal terms.
Oh, God.
Like, yeah, it's fucking stupid.
So stupid.
Who's allergic to weed?
We're like...
Yeah. Actually,
I'm just saying,
maybe, but no,
someone might be.
I supposedly met somebody who was one.
It's just so that it's legal, right?
Yeah, just so it's legal. Yeah. And so, like, people like my mom would, you know, take a cannabinoid, but she's just, or he brought it up and she's like, no. She got real serious. She's like, no, I would never take weed, even if it would make my appetite better and help me.
Yikes. Like, so I have heard of people with medical cards. There's there's like a really good like supply of edibles. Like you can get medical marijuana gummy bears.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's like so pretzel many... sticks.
Yeah,
she wouldn't
like,
even know.
You could put THC oil.
No,
in
you
anything.
Could be like Naomi.
We could have drugged her, but we didn't. Like I said, this makes me feel good that we didn't feel we didn't actually drug my mom, guys.
We didn't drug anybody without their knowledge.
Yeah.
And we are also morally superior to anybody that has.
Which is one person, this character in a TV show. That we really love.
Didn't you like the character in the TV show?
She's so mean. What a bitch.
The actress is great, though.
Oh, my gosh.
She's so good. She's so good. I love that actress. Mm-hmm. Where's the bathroom? Where's the bathroom?
Trigger warning. One of the things I do wanted to talk about was how there's no official trigger warning on this episode.
Yeah.
She sent out, she like posted a warning.
Yeah. Like on her social media, which is cool because everyone is usually like, it's such a cult show. Of course people follow, but it was like, if you were just watching this by chance on the CW on a Friday night, you would get fucked up. But yeah. I don't know. It's not really that interesting of a topic.
No, it's true, though. Like, I got to admit, it was kind of helpful that I accidentally saw the Facebook group chat. And I was like, what happens?
Oh, wait. Okay.
Well, because you guys spoiled it for me, but in a good way. Because then when I watched the episode, I'm like, okay, well, when is this going to happen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know what's going on.
I'm prepared.
I've got a spoiler alert, and I don't like spoiler alerts, but in this case, it was good. I'm glad. So thanks. For having me wake up to, like, what, 74 messages?
Like that, yeah. Oh, my God. Sometimes I've missed entire, like, chunks. I just see it go off, and I'm, like, at work, and I'm like, well.
I know. That. Do you ever mute your messenger? Because I have
my whole phone's muted.
My whole phone's muted, too. I hate the sounds that it makes.
Yeah, like, it's way too distracting. Like,
quiet, phone.
Yeah.
Not shush to you. I was saying shush to the phone. Oh, just because.
Could be I would anyone. Never think that you were shushing
me. Okay, good. Because I was like, oh, wait, that came at an inopportune moment. And please know that I love you.
I know. I love you too.
Oh, honey. If I had a pot gummy, I'd share it with you.
Oh, thank you. Rain check.
So the next
scene. Anywho.
Something poisoned, something. Probably back at the office, honestly.
Sweat song. And then after the commercial break, mm-hmm. Naomi and Rebecca are going to play Twister.
Oh, they Audra right stops into by. It.
Oh, yeah. This was a heated discussion on Facebook.
Audra plot device Levine. Mm-hmm.
I have her clip too, so let's listen to that. Audra shows up, and then we can talk about her as a plot device.
And how I disagree with everyone.
I think I'm with you, Shannon.
Oh, good. Okay.
I forget whose side I was.
You could see both.
Yeah.
Instead of whose line is it anyway, it's whose side is it anyway.
Indeed.
Jokes.
Tell me, what did you do to earn this miraculous acceptance from your mother? I'm curious.
Well, I got sad and came home and refused to shower and stayed up all night and she felt sad for me and now she's taking care of me.
Yeah, you're a smart girl. That doesn't make any sense.
This thing smells from knee sweat, and now I got some gas. You're welcome. Audra. Audra Levine.
Whoa.
Wonderful to see you. Will you be staying for some board games and some ice cream, honey?
Okay, I don't know what this is, but it's scary. And I'm not sticking around for the murder suey. Rebecca, she's up to something. And if you don't know what it is, then it's working. Bye, Naomi.
Bye, Audra. Have a great day. What a bitch. Up to something? You know what I'm up to? I'm up to whooping your tuchus in that game. That's what I'm up to. And before we start, you need some fuel. How about another shake, Steph?
Everybody go at once.
I wish everyone could, like, hear us while the clip is going on. Because we just, like, crack up during the entire thing.
I mean, that was maybe the first... best comic relief? I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe that's why it's so funny. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, normally you're just like, all right. Meh. But because it's been so dark, it's kind of like, okay, this is, thank you.
Yeah. Well, Audra actually says something really dark before that clip and to Rebecca's.
Yeah, before she knows this is going on.
Well, she's like, you must want to die.
Yeah.
And it's played for comedy.
And she says no, which I think that they kind of like used it to give us hope that Rebecca was feeling better. Like they had Audra Levine says that line and Rebecca's like, no, I don't. Like, yeah. And it kind of like shows, oh, okay, she's improving.
Yeah.
Like,
but the same thing is like Rebecca stops for a second because mm-hmm. it's just close enough because that's what happens. Like when someone says something that's close, that is that close to you, you're just kind of like,
yeah. That's
crap.
Not something that you,
how could you?
Yeah. If you have to think about it, then there's.
So we were on two different sides of the table with this. Mm-hmm. We were on the side of Audra's a plot device, and we were on the side of the table of no, Audra is a mean bitch that I know in real life.
She is both.
Oh,
well,
I think both.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone would go to the trouble of making the casserole and driving out of the way and stopping by, being a bitch for 5 minutes, and then leaving.
You have to think about the fact that she also took a job where Rebecca's at. Like,
yeah, this one.
She
yeah.
has
Well, they went after number two, though,
woman.
Didn't they? I mean, you figure if they couldn't have Rebecca in that role, they'd go after number two, right? And she's mm-hmm. probably known in that circle as, like, the one who's right below her.
Well, and she's right. been primed for yeah. life. Her
Either
mother
or,
the whole time has primed her as like, yeah. you need to get above this woman. Yeah. And so that's become her life goal.
So the other option would be as soon as Rebecca left, her mom was like, Rebecca's in California. Go get a job.
Yeah. But it's also a thing that like, it's a catty bitch thing to do. And yeah. that's yeah. what catty bitches do. They find out, yeah. they know when you're down and they will find a way to weasel their way in.
Yeah.
Making mm-hmm. that casserole, yeah, it took some effort, but like,
It's a way for her to get in there and see what's going on.
But even that's a dig. Like, a taco casserole is a dig at her weight. And
it really
yeah.
is.
It's like,
and she just kind of throws it down. Like,
maybe
it's
it was
just
like a chicken fresca taco set. Like,
well, that's an insult, too, I guess. I don't know.
So it doesn't matter. If she brings food, period, she's saying
I'm not
about
saying
it.
That I don't buy her. Well,
I know
I'm
what you're
lazy.
Saying. Exactly.
I'm lazy, and I don't kind of get it.
And you're
head.
Also not evil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I
people
can
like
be
us,
evil.
Like I don't
no,
understand.
No, no. I don't.
But you're like Nathaniel evil.
I don't see you as like a catty bitch. Like I don't think you would ever kick someone when they're down like.
But
this.
Just because probably you're not like that doesn't mean that other people out there aren't.
Yeah.
aren't
no,
like
I,
that.
Yeah. I get
that's
that.
Because
you know what?
Like
I've
the time.
Found,
that
yeah.
But here's the thing. Like I've had people in my life that I thought were my friends, mm-hmm. and I mean, like I kind of knew they weren't. You get that feeling where you're like, all right, I can't really trust you. But then they'll go to events that I'm at specifically. So that when I have a moment, just in case I do, then they're like, oh my God. Yeah. And then they bring that up later on. Like it's people do this shit.
They showed up at a party just to catch you in a corner for like 10 seconds, throw some little dig at you. They'll tear you down and then they leave.
It's more like they watch. No, there might be a dig thing, but no, like people like that, they more watch you for your weakness so that they can use it against you later on.
Yeah.
Like people can be
people like that,
but it comes from a place of jealousy and insecurity and all that good stuff. But no, like this is behavior that I'm familiar with.
Yeah. I'm familiar with it too, mostly from immediate family members.
Oh, so, that's a good one too.
Yeah.
Family.
Hey.
Thanks for being with me every day.
Bringing me down. Knowing me so deeply. You can cut me down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thanks for getting under my skin.
Yeah. And this scene, like, or this episode, without her there, what happens? Like,
she has
to, like, it has to happen, but it reminds you that, this is plot driven. I mean, every time, what, she's showed up three times?
Every time she shows up, it's for a plot reason.
To me, every time she shows up, it feels kind of clunky, because again, I'm lazy too. This bitch tries. And you know, but like, it's not like people like her don't exist. It's just, they're not in this room.
Thank God. I love all of you guys. I'm so glad that no one here. Cheers. Raise your glass if you have one to not being a catty bitch.
Not being a catty bitch.
Cheers.
I was about to raise a donut, so that would have worked too.
I think they could have gone a little bit lighter with her. Like, they didn't have to go as direct with her dialogue. Just planting the doubt in Rebecca's head could have been enough to make her go, why is she being nice to me? And then that could have been enough to make her go and start snooping and find those pills.
Possibly, like, right. But this was more honest.
Yeah.
This was honest dialogue.
For that character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus that line, if you don't know it's happening, it's working.
Yes.
Is awesome.
Yeah. I wrote that down.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the best line ever. So, I mean, even if it's like clunky, I don't care because it's the best.
Yeah. The first time I watched this, I didn't like that scene. And then the second time, I'm like, there's really good dialogue here.
Oh, yeah.
I think I did the same. I softened up to it the second time, too, the first time. But the first time, like I said, because of the nature of the whole episode, I was just like, oh, God. Like, it was just the whole thing.
Oh, God, what's
hard.
Next?
You were very, very cranky after.
I'm going to bed and I'm taking my crack now.
No, I'm taking my depression.
Yeah. And then what happened?
Okay.
I didn't take notes. Otherwise,
I was like, Rebecca,
yeah, that's a change. Something's different.
Shannon doesn't have notes.
Shannon doesn't
this is
have
the
notes.
Only time I have not had notes. That's how much this episode affects me.
Okay, so we see, we're at Paula's. Her and Scott are going to take an impromptu vacation to Palm Springs. And I wrote down the line, Tommy does love a swimmer car. He likes to drink when he pees.
Liquid in, liquid out, 100%.
I just had an image of him standing in their bathroom with like a Faygo, just replenishing.
Well, Faygo remembers, you guys.
Yeah, I know. Got to support the local economy.
So they plan that, and then I guess there's that whole scene where everyone at the office is being obnoxious. So Nathaniel's just like, hey, Cornelia, let's go to the timeshare we're having some business with. It's all like
they have a client there.
Yeah, it's just like to be critical of the Audra Levine being clunky plot is to be critical of all these like next two scenes, because there's a lot where it's like, we got to get to this timeshare somehow.
Yeah.
So
I'll agree with that.
So we just, I don't know, we can just jump ahead to the timeshare where Nathaniel and Cornelia have to find a mountain or a swim up bar mountain view. So they have to get in bathing suits and take pictures. And that's suddenly the plot. I don't know.
They really don't have to. They volunteer to do it. They're both like, I have swim trunks in my car. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll just go to the gift shop and get a swimsuit.
So strange and yet okay.
They can't pay a kid with a bathing suit $10 to swim out there and take a picture.
I know, right? Well, they're professionals. They have to do it themselves.
If I needed to find a view of a swim up bar, I'd be professional too.
Oh, yeah. They took an oath. So.
The lawyer oath to never, I don't know.
Never pass up a swim up bar.
It's part of passing the bar.
Oh, my goodness. Never pass the bar if you pass the bar.
And then, then while they're out there, Nathaniel just like has this little breakdown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like,
he just unloads everything.
You're so professional. You're not like throwing your boobs everywhere, and you only mention Harvard if someone asks, and.
It makes me miss someone so much. Yeah. I don't remember what he says.
Well, if you want to hear what he says, I have that clip.
Oh, good.
And him crying because it gets to me.
I love that you smile and you crinkle your face when you say that. He's crying.
It's great. That beautiful snake.
I have a tendency to pronate.
If you're standing here, there's technically a bit of a view. Right here, if you lean over.
Great. You're so professional. Even in a swim-up bar, it's amazing.
I'm sorry?
Well, it's just that some people in your position would behave differently. Some people who I definitely don't think about or talk about at all anymore, they would not have gone into that gift shop and selected a conservative one-piece like you did. They would have picked out a ridiculous bikini, and they'd be slinging their boobs all over the place.
I'm sorry, what?
And they'd be provoking me and zinging me and challenging my worldview and warming my heart. Thank God that's not happening. Thank God I don't have that in my life anymore. I'm sorry. I'm not crying. I'm not crying. It's just the chlorine in this water, isn't it?
Oh, sir, you're okay. I mean, I think you're okay. I don't know what's going on. You're crying and I'm in a bathing suit. How did this happen?
Becky.
These are just crocodile tears. Don't mind them.
So
I'm
perfect.
Not used to chlorine anymore since I stopped with the water bottle.
Yeah, right. I don't have my magical bonnet.
Oh, how did this happen?
That's so perfect.
There.
warming my heart.
Oh, emotion.
Challenging my worldview. Yeah. And just the combination of saying, you're not slinging your boobs around and challenging my worldview and warming my heart is the most like wonderful combination
it's
of things.
Perfect, yeah.
And when I was watching that, I was like, does that count as an HR violation? I don't know.
Probably.
You're talking about how I'm not slinging my boobs around. Does that count?
And then something else happens. I don't remember if they stay in the pool. Is that what happens?
Yeah, yeah. The other guys come up.
Oh, yeah, okay. The other guys,
the wacky office members all show up.
Yeah.
The Stooges, But Jim shows up in like the Speedo, and it's all like poofy. And I'm like, that's poofy. That's a poofy Speedo. Right?
Yeah, you know.
Anyone else notice that?
It did look.
I like, and you're putting it into words, and I just accepted it.
It reminded me of, it was just poofy. It was
they
just
probably had something in there, like you have to conceal some of those.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true,
yeah.
That makes sense, because I'm like, why are you giving him a poofy Speedo? And it's because you got to hide his poof.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, I get it. Legal
Jim,
stuff, all right.
Exactly. Yeah. Legal tells us that we need to make everything look a little larger. You're welcome and sorry.
Then we get
a
song.
So then they all break down, right?
Yeah, they all start yelling at each other. Yep. They still want her attention.
And then, oh my God, I love this song so much.
Oh my goodness.
It's just
so
this
good.
Like Brazilian, like...
I pulled the song.
Calypso
too.
Or something?
Okay.
Oh, yes!
Yeah, so we can just hear the song.
Okay. Oh, it's more like it's like
I
a soft
think
jazz.
That this yeah, about bossa nova. This isn't about me.
Brazilian place.
It isn't about me. But they carve at the table.
Ba, 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 ba.
Is this the girl from Ipanema? Is that...
Yeah. If only the B-52s came out.
Yes. Tin roof. Arrested.
Do you have the song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like, what do you want me to do? Yeah.
We're just being weird. Cut
no
us
judgment.
Off.
Cut us off.
It's either weird or tears.
Love
so.
Shack, baby, I mean, love Shack.
It's only gonna get worse.
And here we go.
Wrap it up.
A therapy session you all that I've never. There's a very good chance. Come on, sit
down. I feel like this isn't about me. I feel like this isn't about me. Clearly they're projecting all of their feelings about a person I've never met and making it about me.
I'm telling you guys, from the moment she walked in the room, there was just such chemistry. Now it's love at first sight.
Ba, 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 ba. I'm not the best with social cues, but this one's pretty clear.
This isn't about her, about her.
This reminds me to try the Brazilian place with the
table, right at the table, right at the table, right at the table.
Hey! I'm going back to LA to file several HR complaints. I look forward to collecting a settlement and finally opening up my custom yo-yo business. You guys are a mess. Bye.
And they finally get called out for all of their HR indiscretions that they've had throughout.
Yes.
You know,
in case you were counting or worrying. They're real.
They're real.
She can collect on them.
I was kind of like, what's going on? But I like that she wants to open a custom yo-yo.
Yeah.
And when they show up, she finally breaks and she says, oh, God, these jackholes.
Yeah, because before she's like, pardon me for being so blunt.
Mm-hmm.
And what does she say? Like, they're a bit much.
Yeah.
So, like, to go from that to straight, like, oh, these jackholes.
It's all on the table.
It's all on the table.
And then Paula comes up and, like, blasts off too. She's like, I take one vacation a year and you are all here and I don't get it and everything's weird and get out of here.
And Jim, you're ripped.
Yes. Yeah. You are ripped.
It's just protein shakes.
Look, they're working.
I forgot about that part.
It was cute.
I noticed that too when he came. I'm like, oh, yeah. Jim is ripped.
He is ripped. Cool. Yes. I like this. Good choice in using him as the male rather than who knows.
Well, they had Nathaniel with in the swim trunks too.
He's
a
little pretty. Bit of
that. He's pretty. He's not as ripped.
But I like that he has like the little trail on his tummy and he has a little tuft of fur on his chest. Just a little bit. I like a little fuzz on my fella, and so it's nice.
It's real cute.
Nobody wants the full shave unless you're going to be ripped like Tim. Mm-hmm. Jim.
Jim. No.
Whatever his name is.
Jim.
Like, consonant plus M.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. He's just meat anyways.
Like, oh! Like meat on a stick.
That's he's carved right at the table.
Yep.
He's carved at the table.
And there's a bunch of sad stuff we don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
And then the episode's over.
It's great. No one goes through anything.
It's really sad, though, because you see her. You see her face, and she's, like, reaching out to anyone she can. I'm going there, because we got to go there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
But at the same time, she's so isolated. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, but she's like, I'm not okay. I don't think I'm okay.
She puts herself around strangers because she's not comfortable around anybody she knows.
Well, because it's one of those things that if you say...
She'd have to talk about that
stuff. If you like let your heart and soul out to a stranger and they're like, man, you're really weird. You're just like, okay, cool. I'm never going to see you again.
Yeah.
You let your heart and soul out to someone that you know. Yeah. You're like, crap, I have to see you again and now you don't like
and
me.
And there's a risk that you don't know how they'll react.
Actually, I don't know if I did pull the beginning of this clip where she's on the plane. She's going back to LA. So I guess let's just hear it and then we can fill in the pieces.
Yeah.
So this is the flight attendant talking to Rebecca. A stranger talking to Rebecca.
Yeah.
In the last scene.
I just hope wherever she is, she's happy.
Actually, yeah, you can help me. This is going to sound a little crazy, but I need to get off the plane. I bought a ticket to go to L.A. when I was in New York, but I'm just remembering now that everyone in L.A. either hates me and or thinks I'm crazy. So New York isn't my home, but L.A. isn't either. So all I need you to do is just drop me off in like Ohio or Idaho in a cornfield somewhere.
Sorry, hun. We really can't just drop people off, but you can get off the plane in L.A. and buy a new ticket.
True. Yeah. The thing is, I'm just too tired to buy things or do things or get things or say things or face things.
Tell you what. We have a Merlot. That is the only one we have. You want a glass of that?
Sure. That sounds great.
I got you, girl.
Yeah, she got you, except not. She doesn't know what she does.
Doesn't get it.
Like nobody knows how to help.
No one knows what another person is going through ever.
Yeah. Well, we're all kind of clouded in whatever's going on in our own life. So, so you know, like we see that someone else might be in pain, but at the same time, you're kind of like, well, I got my own shit, and so we don't delve into it as much as we might.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's a really uncomfortable thing to try to like reach out to somebody and try to figure out what is wrong with them too. Like to get that personal with somebody, whether you know them or not, is difficult as well.
Well, yeah, we all have our barriers up.
Yeah. And you don't know how they're going to react. And
sometimes a glass of wine is all you need on a plane. That's you're just really sad because you're traveling. And
Well, here's a glass of wine. Except when you take it with a bottle of pills.
Right. Which is what she did.
Yeah. So. But then I thought that there was this beautiful moment because I feel like, you know, she really was without hope. And so to see, and that was, you know, her taking all those pills was, I have no hope. There's no other solution. And so when she looks up at the sign, the little help light, and the help becomes hope.
And that turns to hope,
And it's like, oh, wait, I still have a little bit of this. I found some.
Yeah, I need to live through this.
And so then she...
Flight attendant comes
She
back.
Asks for help.
Yeah.
Because she found her little piece of hope. And so I think that was a beautiful way of putting it, too, where it's like, you have to have hope in that moment.
Yeah. Well, you hit rock bottom.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you didn't hit it with Greg's dad. You hit it at home with your stupid mom.
Well, yeah. Because that's the thing. Like, yeah.
I think that's the saddest part of this episode. Yep. It's like her rock bottom wasn't sleeping with her ex-boyfriend's dad. It was her fucking family.
Well, because when she slept with Greg's dad, she had to like sit and fester with that for a while. Yeah, that was horrible. So, but when you fester it, like when you allow it to kind of like sit and like be a pit in your stomach and start to like mold and cause disease in your system, then that's your real rock bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rumination is not healthy.
No. Mm-mm. And we are like out of time to like, no! Which is actually probably good so we don't get really too sad.
That's
but,
true.
any last thoughts on that scene that anyone is just dying to say?
I thought it was just, I don't know, it was very well depicted. And yeah. I think mm-hmm. it was...
There's a lot of empathy to yeah. it.
And yes. I had an initial reaction that I hated it because I've been that depressed where I've been like mm-hmm. not attempting, but thinking about it and stuff. So I was like kind of like pissed, like, God damn, like, I don't need to see, like, I don't want to mm-hmm. recount this. But at the same time, I had a thought that maybe it wasn't for people like that as much as it was for people who don't know how
yeah.
to help people who are going through yeah. that.
Uh-huh. Which is also another question, like, was it created for art or was it created to help someone, which
probably both.
Is something that we didn't really,
I don't think
it
had
get into at the
yeah.
moment. Okay. But
and yeah. we can get into it next time. But yeah, I think it was created for art. And then by throwing the suicide hotline at the end, they're like, well, yeah. this is the responsible
yeah.
for help part.
Which is good.
But the narrative itself is for the sake of the narrative. Yeah. And that part is self-contained. And we'll be back in a week to talk more.
We love you.
<They'll> be, yeah.